Moto Casino is pure American energy. Born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Moto, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
By the time they reached the cabin, neither of them was in a particularly good mood anymore. The drive had taken far longer than expected. What had originally sounded relaxing, a few days in an isolated rental cabin somewhere in the mountains, started feeling exhausting about 3 hours earlier when the paved highways narrowed into winding back roads with almost no signage. The farther they drove, the less civilization seemed to exist around them. Gas stations disappeared first, then houses, then eventually even other cars. By the last hour of the drive, they hadn't passed another vehicle at all. The cabin itself sat at the end of a gravel road deep enough in the woods that the GPS had stopped working nearly 20 minutes earlier. They only found the place because the owner had emailed extremely specific directions beforehand, right down to landmarks like a rusted mailbox and a broken wooden sign half hidden by brush near a fork in the road. When they finally arrived, dusk was already settling across the trees. The cabin was smaller than the photos online made it appear, though not in a disappointing way. It looked old, but well cared for, built beside a narrow lake almost completely surrounded by dense forest. A screened-in porch overlooked the water, and a stone fire pit sat near the shoreline beneath a cluster of towering pine trees. The isolation hit them immediately. No neighboring cabins, no distant road noise, no lights anywhere across the lake, but just trees. At first, that was exactly what they wanted. The trip had been planned after several rough months neither of them had handled particularly well. Work stress, family issues, constant schedules. Every day it started feeling loud and crowded in ways they could never quite escape, so when they found the cabin listing online advertising absolute privacy and silence, it sounded perfect. The owner met them briefly just after they unloaded the car. He looked older than either of them expected, wearing heavy work boots and a faded canvas jacket despite the mild weather. Most of the conversation stayed practical. Generator instructions, water pressure issues, the nearest gas station being almost 40 minutes away. Then, almost casually, he mentioned the noise. At first, neither of them understood what he meant. He clarified while looking out toward the trees beyond the lake. Sometimes people heard things at night, not animals, people. The explanation that followed sounded reasonable enough. Sound traveled strangely through the forest and across the water, especially late at night. Campgrounds farther north along the mountain roads occasionally carried noise farther than expected. Music, voices, engines, sometimes the woods distorted direction badly enough that sounds felt much closer than they really were. He said it casually enough that neither of them thought much about it at the time. If anything, it almost felt reassuring. A reminder they weren't completely alone in the mountains, despite how isolated the cabin seemed. After he left, the evening settled into something far more peaceful than either of them expected. They unpacked slowly, cooked a late dinner, and sat outside beside the lake while darkness gathered through the trees around them. Once the sun disappeared completely, the isolation became even more noticeable. The woods swallowed sound in a strange way. Even normal noises, the lake water against the shoreline, wind moving through the trees, the occasional creak of branches, felt muted somehow. By 11, they were exhausted enough to fall asleep almost immediately. She wasn't sure what time she woke up. At first, she thought the sound had worked its way into her dream somehow, a low vibration pulsing faintly through the cabin walls. Once she fully woke up, though, she realized it was music somewhere outside. Or at least part of it was. The heavy bass carried through the trees in slow, steady pulses while faint voices drifted somewhere beyond the lake. Beside her, he remained asleep beneath the blankets while she lay motionless, listening to the sounds settle and shift through the darkness outside. At first, she assumed another group of campers must be nearby, maybe farther along the lake than they realized. But the longer she listened, the stranger the sounds became. The music itself never seemed to change. No clear lyrics, no obvious song transitions. Just the same low rhythmic vibration moving through the forest over and over beneath scattered voices she could never quite make out. The distance kept changing too. Sometimes the sounds seemed far away, somewhere across the water. Other times she became convinced people were standing deeper in the woods directly behind the cabin. Once or twice she thought she heard gravel crunch somewhere near the porch itself. Eventually she reached over and shook him awake. Unlike her, he barely reacted at first. He listened for maybe 30 seconds before assuming campers somewhere nearby were still awake. The explanation made sense logically, but she still found herself climbing carefully out of bed and peering through the dark windows facing the lake. No lights, not one. The shoreline remained completely black beneath the trees. That was when the uneasiness really started settling in, because human activity should have produced light somewhere. Flashlights, campfires, headlights reflecting through the woods, something. Instead, the forest remained completely dark while the sounds continued drifting somewhere outside. Then, somewhere much closer this time, a car door slammed shut. The sound came from close enough that both of them froze immediately. It wasn't somewhere across the lake or deeper in the woods this time. It had the unmistakable, sharp, metallic sound of a vehicle door shutting hard somewhere near the cabin itself. He sat up fully then, finally awake enough to understand why she looked so unsettled. For several seconds, neither of them spoke. They simply listened while the sounds outside continued drifting through the trees. The low bass still pulsed faintly somewhere in the distance, but now other noises seemed easier to separate beneath it. Gravel shifting. Brief fragments of conversation. What sounded once like laughter that stopped almost as quickly as it started. Eventually, he got out of bed and crossed quietly toward the front windows. Still nothing. No headlights moving through the trees. No flashlights. No campfire glow reflecting across the lake. The woods remained completely black beyond the glass. That should have made her feel better, but instead, it made everything worse. Because now the sounds felt disconnected from reality somehow. Like human activity happening without visible people attached to it. After another 15 minutes or so, he finally convinced her it was probably just the acoustics carrying sound strangely through the forest the same way the owner described earlier. Lakes amplified noise, mountains distorted distance. In daylight, the explanation probably would have sounded perfectly reasonable. At 2 in the morning, inside an isolated cabin surrounded by miles of dark forest, it felt much harder to believe. Eventually, the sounds faded enough for both of them to fall back asleep, or at least close enough to sleep that exhaustion finally won out over anxiety. The next morning, everything felt far less frightening in daylight. That embarrassed her more than she expected. Once the sun came up, the woods lost most of their menace immediately. The lake looked peaceful again. Birds filled the trees with noise, and even the isolation that felt oppressive the night before now seemed relaxing instead. Over coffee, he gently teased her for panicking over what was probably just campers somewhere farther up the mountain. She laughed along with him eventually, though privately she still couldn't explain the one detail that continued bothering her. The lack of lights. If there had really been multiple cars, music, and people moving around outside that close to the cabin, they should have seen something. Flashlights, campfires, headlights, through the trees. Anything. Still, by midday, even she had mostly convinced herself the fear came from exhaustion, mixed with unfamiliar surroundings. The day itself ended up becoming exactly what they hoped the trip would feel like. They explored hiking trails around the lake, drove into a nearby mountain town for lunch, and spent most of the afternoon disconnected from phones and schedules in a way neither of them realized they desperately needed. By evening, the strange experience from the night before had already started feeling exaggerated. In retrospect, then just before sunset, they found the old campground, or what was left of it. The narrow road branched off the main gravel route less than a mile from the cabin. At first, they almost missed it entirely because weeds and overgrown brush partially blocked the entrance now. Curious, they walked a short distance down the abandoned road until the trees opened into a wide clearing near the water. The campground had clearly been closed for years. Old fire pits sat scattered through the clearing, surrounded by collapsed picnic tables and rusted electrical posts. Faded numbered signs still marked individual campsites in places, though many had fallen sideways into the weeds. Near the far tree line stood the remains of a bathhouse slowly collapsing inward from years of neglect. The whole place felt strangely preserved, not ruined enough to feel ancient, just abandoned. That was what unsettled her most. It looked like people had once filled the area constantly. Families, campers, boats on the lake, music at night carrying through the trees, cars moving slowly down the gravel roads after dark. Now there was nothing. As they walked back toward the car, she casually mentioned the sounds from the night before again. This time, he didn't dismiss the idea quite as quickly, because standing there inside the abandoned campground, it suddenly became much easier to imagine exactly the kind of noise they heard drifting through the woods at night. The problem was the campground had obviously been closed for a very long time. That evening, the atmosphere around the cabin felt subtly different. Not frightening exactly, but heavier somehow. Even he seemed quieter after dinner, occasionally glancing toward the woods surrounding the lake as darkness settled in again. The isolation that felt peaceful earlier now felt complete, in a way neither of them had fully noticed before. By 10:30, they had locked the cabin doors, though neither of them openly acknowledged why. The sounds started earlier the second night. She heard them before they even turned the bedroom lights off completely. Faint music somewhere beyond the lake, distant enough at first that she almost ignored it. Then came voices, more than one, close enough now that she could tell they were human. He heard them too, this time. That changed the feeling immediately. They sat silently listening while the sounds moved somewhere through the darkness outside the cabin. At one point, it sounded like several people talking near the shoreline. A few minutes later, the voices seemed farther away again, drifting somewhere deeper into the woods behind the cabin. Then gravel crunched slowly outside the porch, not distant, right outside. Both of them turned toward the front windows at the exact same moment. The porch remained empty, but the footsteps continued moving slowly across the gravel outside. The footsteps moved slowly across the gravel outside the porch for several more seconds before stopping completely. Neither of them moved after that. The cabin suddenly felt much smaller than it had earlier that evening, and every sound inside seemed amplified now. The faint hum of the refrigerator, old wood settling somewhere in the walls, even their breathing as they sat frozen in the darkness listening for whatever might happen next. Then came voices again. Not distant this time, but close enough that she became convinced multiple people were standing somewhere just beyond the porch screening. The words themselves remained impossible to understand beneath the low pulse of music still drifting faintly through the trees, but the voices sounded unmistakably human and strangely calm. That was somehow the worst part. No shouting, no drunken yelling, no obvious danger. Just quiet conversation happening outside their cabin, in the middle of nowhere close to midnight. Finally stood up and crossed slowly toward the front windows while she followed several feet behind him, every instinct telling her not to look outside even while she desperately needed to know what was there. The porch remained empty, no people, no flashlights moving through the trees, nothing near the shoreline. But while they stood there staring into the darkness, another sound drifted clearly across the gravel outside. Footsteps again, this time moving around the side of the cabin. The movement continued slowly enough that both of them could follow it by sound alone as gravel shifted beside the porch, then near the rear wall, then farther back somewhere near the kitchen windows. At one point, it sounded like more than one person walking through the darkness. Then suddenly, everything stopped again. For nearly a full minute, the woods went completely silent. No voices, no movement. Even the distant music seemed gone now. She whispered that they needed to leave, and what frightened her most was that he agreed immediately. Up until then, he had continued trying to rationalize everything. Campers, sound distortion, wildlife moving through the brush. But something had changed in his expression while they stood listening to footsteps circle a cabin where no one ever appeared outside. He believed something was wrong now, too. They packed quickly after that, throwing clothes and toiletries into bags without much thought, while the silence outside somehow felt worse than the noise had. Every few seconds, she caught herself glancing toward the dark windows, expecting to see someone standing outside watching them. But no one ever did. The moment he opened the front door, both of them stopped again. The gravel outside the cabin was untouched, no footprints, no tire tracks, nothing at all. The area around the porch looked completely undisturbed beneath the weak glow of the exterior light, and for several long seconds, neither of them moved. Then somewhere out near the lake, a car door slammed again. This time, it sounded much farther away. That was enough. They loaded the car and left within minutes. The drive back through the forest felt wrong almost immediately. During daylight, the roads around the lake had seemed straightforward enough, despite the lack of signs, but now every turn looked unfamiliar. The trees crowded closer to the road than either of them remembered, and more than once they became convinced they had already passed the same stretch of road earlier. Neither of them said much during the drive. The sounds never fully disappeared either. Every so often, the faint bass drifted through the trees again. Low enough, they could almost convince themselves it was coming from the car speaker somehow. Once she became certain, she heard voices outside while they slowed near a fork in the road, though when she cracked the window open, the woods immediately went silent again. Then they saw the campground. At least, they thought it was the campground. The abandoned entrance road appeared suddenly in the headlights off to their right, half hidden behind brush exactly where they remembered it from earlier that afternoon. Except now there was a gate across it. Not an old campground gate hanging partially open from years of neglect, but a heavy metal barrier chained completely shut. A weathered sign attached to the chain warned that the campground beyond the gate had been closed to the public for years. He slowed the car almost to a stop while both of them stared through the windshield. The chain across the entrance looked old, not something recently locked into place. She quietly pointed toward the brush surrounding the road. There were no tire tracks, no indication anyone had driven through there recently. Then, faintly through the trees somewhere beyond the gate, music drifted across the lake again. Not loud, just enough to hear the low, rhythmic bass beneath distant voices somewhere deep in the darkness. He accelerated immediately after that, and neither of them looked back. They reached the highway a little after 3 a.m. and drove nearly another hour before stopping at a motel outside a small town. Neither of them slept much the rest of the night. The strangest part came later. A few weeks after they returned home, she started searching online for information about the abandoned campground. At first, she mostly wanted reassurance that other people had probably stayed near the lake illegally over the years. Maybe local kids still partied there occasionally. Maybe they had simply stumbled into a strange situation in the woods and let exhaustion turn it into something worse than it really was. Instead, she found an old newspaper archive discussing the closure of the campground nearly 20 years earlier after severe flooding damaged most of the lakeside roads and structures beyond repair. The article included photographs. One of them showed the entrance road, the same gate, the same chain. According to the article, the road had been permanently closed shortly after the flood damage because sections beyond the entrance were no longer safe for vehicles. No one should have been driving through there at all. She showed him the article eventually, but neither of them had much to say afterward. Even now, years later, neither of them fully agrees on what happened during those 2 nights in the cabin. They rarely talk about it anymore, except occasionally when conversations drift toward strange travel experiences or unexplained events. But there is one detail they both still agree on completely. Whatever they heard outside the cabin sounded ordinary at first, and that was what made it frightening. Not ghostly voices or strange creatures moving through the woods, just the unmistakable sounds of people gathering somewhere nearby in the dark. People they never once actually saw.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Babe, did you see that Moto Casino is giving a $1,776,000 worth of prizes?
That's why they're called America's Social Casino, celebrating the birth of America bigger than anyone else.
You can win incredible experiences at NASCAR and F1 races and a grand prize of 1 million sweeps coins.
So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home 1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home 1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.